When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 466. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. And today is chapter 9 of the SEO 101 learning series. This is the wrap-up. It's hard to believe. It's been a lot of fun getting this out there, and I know that based on some feedback that this is being appreciated. So I love that. We'd love more feedback from you on the SEO 101 page on Facebook. It's always good to hear from you guys. And yeah, let us know what you thought of the series. But in order to wrap things up, we have put together a big list of stuff that doesn't necessarily cover every chapter, but sums up main points and pitfalls to avoid when doing your SEO. So Scott, why don't you start with the first one?
Yeah. So really, you know, when you're creating your website and your content, write your content for your visitors primarily. I mean, this is pretty common. Create your content for the people. We see it all the time, and you've probably seen it when you're looking at other websites and you see keywords just blasted into content and it doesn't read naturally and it gives you a bad taste for the website and can really discourage your customers and clients, potential customers and clients. Not to mention, it doesn't really help with SEO anymore to do that. So, you know, that old keyword spamming where you just put a keyword in every single sentence or maybe a couple times used to work 20 years ago, not great now. And it's really not for people. Google can see that. You're not going to rank well. Your search priority should really be a distant second, because even if you can drive people to your website, they will not convert if your site is created strictly for search. So,
yeah, and to expand on that, on one portion of that anyway, it's about your mindset when you're writing, when you're planning content, everything. Create the best experience for users first. Everything's got to be excellent. The content, the path you want them to follow for each potential conversion. You know, you may have a path that sends ultimately gets them to signing up for your newsletter. Another one that might get them to read a particular blog post that you know often converts people into clients or into inquiries. And another one will just send them directly into inquiries. There's just many, many ways you could do a site, and you should have multiple paths. So write for them. SEO always second. And it's... it's easy to forget. We see it often. And even our own clients say, well, what's the keywords you're going to use for this? What are you going to do? And obviously, we do have keyword sets. We've done our research. But when they write, we tell them the topic if they want to write something. And we don't give them keywords. We just tell them to write the way they want to write, that they would want to read if they were their potential clients. Then we'll take it. And if we need to, we'll look at ways to work in some keywords. But honestly, most of the time we don't need to. We just, because if they created excellent content, it's going to have a lot of that keyword in there, or that, or at least synonyms. It's going to have a lot of the information that Google likes. So we just keep it at that. So it is a different mindset than a lot of people think when they jump into SEO. They think you have to think about SEO all the time. Not necessarily all the time. Sometimes, but not all the time. Next is don't jump the gun. Now, this is one of the things that we've talked about countless times on the podcast. I know John Carcutt and I used to talk about it all the time, and we would just love this. But essentially, whenever a search engine ranking algorithm update has happened, you know, rankings are all over the place, fluctuating the whole nine yards, 99% of the time, if you make edits to your site right away, you're going to have more problems than you did if you would just leave it. Just leave your site until the algorithmic update has settled. You have a good sense of whether or not it has actually negatively affected your site permanently or not. If there is something permanent, then you'll, by that point, someone like Barry Schwartz at Search Engine Roundtable or someone on Search Engine Land will have a very decent report on what you need to do to alleviate any issues. And you can follow that well-researched advice. That's my recommendation. Now, obviously, if you know you did something wrong, well, that's your own fault. You need to correct that, and that's a whole other thing. I'm not speaking about that. I'm talking about any one of us who has a website, who's seen their rankings go up and down all of a sudden, but they happen to know there is a big ranking update happening. Well, don't react. Just wait. Let it settle. And I'm not talking saying a couple of days. It can be a few weeks, and it's hard, especially if it's all of your business is are in those baskets, those rankings.
Some of these core updates too are, you know, they used to be a day or two, and now sometimes they're taking over a month. Like I've seen them go 6 weeks. And so anytime in that 6 week window, you don't want to do anything. Don't touch anything until it's confirmed that it's over, and then take a look and see where you stand.
Now, we should clarify, that doesn't mean you don't continue to improve your site. You don't continue to write or anything. Do as normal. Don't try to react to what you're seeing. Just continue to do what you were normally doing. Keep the writing up. Keep your social impact up. If you're correcting and fixing 404s on the site, or if you're doing more internal linking, just continue doing it. These are all good practices. What we're meaning is don't react and go, oh God, maybe I need to remove this, or maybe there's too many of this or too many of that, and I need to fix this. No, oh my God. Well, and trust me, this is how it usually happens. People panic. Don't do that. Just continue doing your good stuff until you've found some reason that there's no reason to do that. Like there's something wrong. Okay. All right. What's next, Scott?
Know your numbers. Know how much you can afford to spend to obtain a sale or a customer. That can certainly be important, not just for organic SEO, but obviously for the paid side of things as well. If you're doing AdWords, Google Ads or Facebook marketing or Bing or whatever, obviously it seems like a no-brainer, but I think a lot of people don't look at it for some reason. I don't know why that is. And not only that, you know, you want to know your numbers in terms of, you know, conversion rates and how many customers you think you need, how much traffic do you need to make the sales, things like that. All that can sort of be a foundation to your strategy and help you assess the benefits of your SEO work and how things are moving along.
I think they don't do it because it's hard work. Getting those numbers is not easy. I've gotten a close grasp on them, but a few times in our company, but I have to admit, I don't have them solid. They're really difficult to get. You sometimes need to hire someone to help you get these numbers and figure out, you know, just what can you afford to spend to get that client. And one of the things I've mentioned here is you make sure to back up your Google Analytics 3 data before it disappears. This is valuable data. You could be losing countless data points, like decades, depending how long you've been using your same analytics account of content. That's a lot of information about who's been on your site, what content has done well, what hasn't done well. Maybe some of your prior marketing efforts, you'll want to know, you know, how did they go? If you want to revisit that again, you won't be able to if you don't have a backup. So do make sure to do that. There's a ton of tutorials out there on how to back up your Google Analytics 3 data. But if you do want some help with that, by all means, contact us. We have a solution in place and we can help you out. All right. Keep optimization simple. Make sure there's a good title tag. Optimize your headings. Make sure there are internal links between pages. I'm not just talking about the menus. I'm talking about inline text links. These are text, you know, in your writing. That's, you mentioned widget B. We'll make sure that widget B is, that text is linking to the page about widget B. Multimedia, you know, make this content worth sharing. For the vast majority of small businesses, this will put you above the rest. And it's kind of stunning in that regard. And this is also one of those things that for the foreseeable future, because nothing's, well, who knows where it's going to go, but even AI won't have this fixed. That there's going to be a lot of improvement in AI over the years, and maybe they'll come up with a ideal footprint for a website that might fix a lot of this stuff. But then everyone's going to be on the same playing field, and they're all going to have to find some way to differentiate themselves. So I see at this point, the vast majority of small businesses will benefit from this, even through this coming iteration of tricks and using AI to improve your business.
I want to add something to that, that a lot of listeners are going to respond in their minds with duh. And yet I see it happen all the time, like all the time. Even like 2 days ago, I was making an order from a company and I needed to call them to confirm I had the right part that I wanted. And like, where the heck is their phone number? Like I had to Google search their company name to find their phone number, and then it showed up in Google, but I couldn't find it on their own website. So make sure your contact information, your phone number, email address, addresses, all that kind of stuff is there. And actually another thing, a lot of people do, I used to prefer, if I need to email a company, that I could just see the email address, copy and paste it into my phone, whatever, into wherever, and email them that way. But now I don't know what it is. I kind of prefer contact forms on their website more now for some reason. So I don't know. I say have both. Have a contact us form and have an email address so someone can click the link, and maybe they want to work on it on the email in a draft, or they don't want to be limited to the 200 words that a form might offer, whatever. Make it easy for people to contact you. Give them different options. Just make it as simple as you possibly can, and everybody will love you for that. And you're probably already doing it, but there's people listening right now like, oh, do I have my phone number on my site? Like, yeah, add it. Do it now, right now. Pause this. Add it, and then come back and finish listening to us, because it's that important, I think.
And if you are not putting it there because you want people to do their homework first before they call you, I'm sorry, they're not going to. It's nice to do that. And, they force you through these systems to answer questions to go, okay, all right, then if you haven't found your answer, then here's our phone number. I get it. And I don't try not to get too angry about it. Sometimes I'm just in a bad mood, but when it comes right down to it, I understand. They're trying to lessen the impact on their support department, which all say they're overwhelmed. It doesn't matter when or where, they always say that they're overwhelmed. So that makes sense. And the same thing goes with these AI chatbots. Be very careful using them. I think they're a great thing if they're done responsibly and they're used responsibly in the sense that they don't make you go through this great gauntlet of uselessness. And they do ultimately give a person fairly quick access to a real person if they want them. It may mean that you're not getting nearly the benefit you want out of the chatbot, but if it means you're keeping people happy, that's the most important thing. You might only get 10% of people going through the chatbot and getting their benefit and leaving, but that's still 10% less who might have called you. So consider that a win and don't go too crazy on that. And in fact, the other thing, this is quite the rabbit hole, but I just went to my podiatrist today, and it took me weeks to get this appointment because I'd assumed badly that they would respond to my submission, or I think it was an email, or did I use a form on their site? I can't remember. I think it's a form I used on their site, and I don't think it must be working. They must not be checking it. Maybe it's broken on their end. Always check your forms. Do a test every single week. Just to test to yourself to make sure it's working. Yeah. Countless times we've seen people lose who knows how much money because their form's broken and they've just got this absolute onslaught of pending messages from people who've been asking for business, to be sold essentially. And they never went through. They, for all they knew, their site was doing nothing for them. And that's because their form is broken. Okay.
Could you imagine? When your open sign on the outside of your brick and mortar business is on or off by flicking the switch, it's kind of the same thing. Or you forget. It's like having a store downtown and you forget to unlock your door and you're sitting there at the till waiting for people to come in and nobody, they just walk by. They don't come in because your door is locked.
Yeah. They just keep trying the door. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to admit, in the 27 years we've been around, we had at least one, I think maybe two incidences where it slipped our review of a website, you know, many months down the line, a client might ask us to check it out, and we didn't test the form, and it turned out months later that they weren't getting any business from their site because the form was broken. I tell you, we're religious about it now. You've got to check those forms.
Well, it's funny,
we were horrified.
Like, we definitely do that, but it's not really necessarily in the scope for most of our clients, but it's so important. You know, we look bad, even though it's not our responsibility, we look bad if they don't make sales and don't get contacts because of the work we do, even if the fault is on their end. So we want to make sure that anything we do, you know, the benefit can be seen. So,
yeah, it's just like when we take on a new client and their website is crap. Well, first of all, do we take the client on if their website's crap? Not necessarily. If they're not willing to make changes to make it work, then no, we won't. Because why would we want to bring on a business that we can't confidently improve their bottom line with? Like, it may be that we'll get the rankings, but who cares? The rankings mean nothing if the person goes to your website and doesn't buy. We want to make sure that the websites are designed to sell. So that's why that's a huge component of what we do when we're marketing. And I think any good company does.
So definitely remove the animated GIFs and MIDIs that are playing in the background.
I don't think anyone remembers that stuff like we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I sure do. Yeah.
Yeah. The animated flames.
Oh yeah. I'm adding them right now.
Oh man. I actually kind of missed that. It was hilarious. What's next here, Scott?
Yeah. So we've kind of got a label as start small and scale up, and small is sort of relative depending on your business, right? I mean, if you're a brand new website that just launched and you have no history, you're gonna be starting really small. If you're a big corporate website, you're gonna be starting small in terms of how big you can get. But go after your feasible targets and your, you know, anything that can be achieved. I say easily, but easily isn't necessarily the right word. Again, it depends on where you're at. A site that's just starting from nowhere, nothing is gonna be easy. It's gonna take a lot of work and a lot of time before you see anything. If you're a big site that doesn't have a lot of SEO history, you'll probably see big changes, big movement quickly, and then it'll probably slow down a little bit, and then you can ramp things up just because you've got some history that the SEO can grab onto and work with. We have one site, for instance, or one client, and they're a pretty big website, and every so often we're branching out into these other areas that are sort of cutting edge for them and don't have a lot of search volume, and they're going big into creating content in those areas, and they're doing link building for those topics. And then, you know, we've got one that's kind of nailed and doing well, and now they're going to ramp into another area. And so that's an idea of, like, you know, put your targets almost into like little buckets and go after one bucket. And when then that's sort of achieved or it's doing really well and progressing, then move on to the next target and goal. Unless you have a huge budget and you can go after everything all at once. But let's be real, most of the people that are listening to us right now are not those companies with massive budgets that can go crazy with it. So,
no, but they also, of course, they have to understand they have to maintain the ones they're moving on from.
Correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't think I said that. Yeah.
No,
don't
no
forget about what you're working on.
It's assumed, right? But yeah, don't forget that you've got to keep those working and continue to work on them. But you can have a portion of your marketing team focused on, or our marketing team focused on, building out these new areas and just work on those in buckets. And yeah, you're dead on. Works great. Okay. Another bit here is you don't need to do it alone. We suggest that creating a great relationship with an SEO experts or company that you can call when you're not certain of your work or a particular direction you're making in your marketing. Even if you only meet them once every few months or even once a year, at least you have someone who can iron out the wrinkles in your plans or efforts, okay? It's really important that you have someone to touch base with. Even I do. I mean, we have people we talk to who are our fellow experts, and we're like, okay, I don't know. Am I getting my head here? What do you think about this? Oh, I've had that same problem. I did this. Wonderful. That one reach out solved me so much pain. And that comes right down and, that brings me to the next point, which is a lot of the mistakes that bring in new panicked clients, which thankfully is pretty rare nowadays. Back in, gosh, in the middle of our career, I got a lot more of these who were doing really stupid things and Google just crashed their sites. Like, just, they're no rankings at all. I tell you, they came panicked, sometimes crying on the phone, and I'm serious. Anyway, when we do get new panicked clients, it's usually due to employing incorrect SEO strategies based on what they read or what they heard, or they heard worked, air quote. So if they just contacted ourselves, another SEO company that they trusted, just to review their plan, they could have saved a fortune. I mean, the cost of an SEO, what? It depends. You know, we're fairly affordable in the $150 to $200 range for just like a significant consult. But like just an hour consult on the phone where we walk through with you, we determine everything, we give you some thoughts to, I've seen $800 to $3,000 per hour. I mean, it's crazy how big you can get. Most of our listeners, I'm sure the lowest would be perfectly fine. We'd be able to help you. And I'm sure there's many like us that can. Anyway, you just take that small investment and you're saving thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands, depending on your business. Don't do it alone. Get some feedback and do not put all your eggs in one basket when you're in terms of your feedback. I mean, sure, pick a good expert who knows their stuff, and that's a pretty safe basket. But what I'm talking about is when you're talking to, or you're reading particular forums, or you're reading only one newsletter, or you're reading this person you think you trust, but you really haven't vetted them. That's scary stuff. There's a lot of really savvy people out there that can write up a storm and they can look really brilliant, but they may not be on the cutting edge. They may be telling you something to do that is not a good idea. Like these link wheels are huge. They still are out there, content farms, all these different ways to sneakily build links and improve the authority of your website. All that stuff catches up with you. It's just not worthwhile.
Forums are terrifying because forums are a source of incredible wealth of help. But the problem is a lot of it is garbage. And, you know, a lot of they might have weird forum names. So you don't know who's a real expert and who isn't, who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't. So if you go to forums, definitely make sure you get a lot of people saying the same thing. If there's like one guy that stands out and he's saying something that sounds good to you, it might be too good to be true. Like, you know, it might be incorrect. Make sure you vet any information. And even if you read it in a blog or search engine land, search engine journal, something that's real, I don't know that I would act on something I read at search engine land without at least trying to verify it somewhere else as well. If it was a big thing, right? So verify your don't take fake SEO news to heart, you know.
There's so much misinformation for sure. And, you know, if it's a small thing, like, oh, I don't know, how many words should I have on this page? I mean, stuff like that. And you get some feedback. Well, no big deal. But if you're talking about, okay, I want to implement this new strategy on my site, don't just rely on what you read. Please, 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 please. This content could be out of date. The person who write it may not be cutting edge.
Check the date for the article.
Oh, and yeah, if you can't find a date on the article, be very suspicious. A lot of people don't like to put dates on articles because I think it's going to devalue it. Dates are important. It's so important in this business, especially because content does go to date very quickly. There's just too much happening, especially now with AI coming and building into all of our SEO results. Yeah, just run it by someone you trust in SEO. Okay. I realize this is we're pushing it because we're SEOs. It makes it sound self-serving, but it's simple fact and it will save you money. So who cares? Yeah. It'll save you money. Who doesn't want to hear that? All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we come back. We're going to talk about links, the importance of website management, AI, and so on. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. We're going to continue the Chapter 9 of the SEO 101 learning series with links. So, do they matter? What do you think, Scott?
They absolutely matter. And what I find funny about this is, you know, I started in this business in 2003. And I swear to God, one of the first articles I read was probably links are dead. You know, and every year there's articles, links don't matter, they're dead, Google doesn't care anymore. They're not dead, and they matter. They matter a lot, and they will probably matter forever. Even with AI, really, you know, this entrenchment of AI into this SEO world, they're still going to matter. Like I don't really know a lot of what to say here other than they matter. They probably will always matter, and they've mattered almost forever. So that said, the quality of the links and which links matter have changed over time. You know, the reciprocal links and the forum links and the directory links and and all these link schemes and link wheels and link rings and chains. And I don't even, I might have made some of those up. I don't even know.
Link polygons. And
yeah, all the link, oh man, the link polygons were those days. You just have to multiply the number of links by pi and you win.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's changed. Certain links mean more than they did before, and certain links mean nothing. But links matter. They will always matter. It's just keeping up to date with what quality means and what sort of links Google cares about. And it kind of comes down to just quality, really,
and
getting them from authority.
What's coming, let's assume that I'll just use Yoast as an example. Yoast comes out with, and this is the plugin for the Yoast plugin for...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For our SEO plugin for WordPress. It's also in other platforms. I believe it's in Shopify as well. But let's say it helps to automate optimization. Now, I've got my doubts. It will do that really well, but let's say it did. Let's say it did perfectly. Well, all of a sudden, everyone's on the same playing field. Again, there's always got a bit to differentiate. So not taking that tangent and falling into the SEO realm, well, what about links? It's still going to be one of those factors that can actually differentiate those sites when they're all optimized well. It's the question is going to be is how will Google start to treat them? Like, they're always trying to improve how they look at links and find the crap and find the artificialness of links. And that is going to continue. And I think it's going to get even better and better with AI. And that's a no-brainer, obviously. But I believe that they're going to do their best now to weed out the poor links and give even more credibility to the links they find authoritative and authentic. That's the one part that I think may not have occurred to some people. But I think by giving more to those particular links, and they're going to try and keep this black in the black box. We don't know exactly which ones are, but otherwise people will just try and get those links artificially somehow. But by emphasizing the ones they know are good, they will still have some control. And then they're going to try and find other factors to help with ranking that wouldn't necessarily be as influenced by links. That's the only way I can really see them accomplishing any decline in the favoring of links, by just focusing on the ones that are great and giving people credit for those. It's no easy feat for them. It's always been difficult for us to look at and try to evaluate what Google's air quote thinking, right? I mean, who knows? But this is definitely an area that they're going to be having to work on. And the same thing goes with content and figuring out who is authoritative in their field. A lot of people are not properly using their author information to add credibility to the content they're writing. Those that do are going to see some improvement in rankings. And I think that's going to be another big push we're going to see over the next little while. We used to call it author rank, and it, or authorship is what we, anyway, it hasn't gone away. It's just changed how Google's looking at it. And I think they're going to have to bring that back to a even greater level over the next little while. So we'll see. Now, what about the importance of website management, Scott?
Man, it is so critical in every possible way. You know, just never underestimate the benefits of a smoothly running, protected, and error-free website. So the first, and I see this often when I do audits, ensure that your site is loading correctly across all browsers. So make sure all your headers are loading, your navigation is loading, images are loading correctly, first of all. I've done audits and their main nav might not work or something, or their dropdown doesn't work in mobile, or there's like little issues like that that the site owner doesn't even know about. And then also check cross-browser. So again, when I do an audit, I look at, this is a small part of our audits. It's not like a core part, but it's something that's important. I'll check if the site's loading correctly in Chrome, Safari, Firefox. I'll even check Edge. I know. And then, of course, I'll check on not just using emulators for mobile, but I'll check on my iPhone and I'll actually load up the site on Safari and Chrome as well. That's all I've got on there. And just looking to see if there's anything really bad going on. It seems kind of like a no-brainer. I think most website owners, you know, when the site's launched, they find these things. But then if something breaks along the way, they don't always see it. Like, how often do you load your site in Edge? Like, never. Nobody does. Well, unless you use Edge. But I mean, okay, there are 7 people that do. But generally speaking, you're not, as a business owner, checking your site in all the different browsers. So do that occasionally. Make sure it's still working. Browsers update, CSS breaks, stuff happens. We've talked about this next one a bit already. Make sure your forms are working. Again, test your forms daily, weekly, monthly, you know, whatever makes sense. Especially if you feel that your leads have dried up and nobody's contacting you all of a sudden and you're used to getting multiple. So make sure your forms are working. Here's something we've talked about a lot on this program. Ensure that your content management system and all associated plugins, apps, modules, whatever they call it in your environment, are up to date and functioning properly, especially with things like WordPress. Plugins are updated all the time. WordPress versions are updated all the time. And there's always these security holes that need to be patched. So make sure everything's updated always. And I shouldn't have to say this anymore, but back everything up before you update it. I said it 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it 1,000 more times. Back up before you update. I've definitely been victim of my own personal stuff where I've updated, like, oh, yeah, I'm just updating Yoast. Easy. Click update. I break everything. Like, how does that even happen? I don't know. It shouldn't happen, and then I'm left scrambling. So backups will save your life easily. And then, you know, make sure you have all your best practices in place regarding security of your site, you know, HTTP versus HTTPS. Make sure your server and all those settings are properly secure. I don't work in that environment, so I usually say, hey, Dennis, do this. And he does it. I don't know what that all entails, but, you know, contact your guy, contact your person and make sure that, you know, everything is up to date security wise. Make sure your hosting company is, you know, reputable and they have a secure site and their server, all that good stuff, right? And then finally, ensure that your header status is correct on all your pages. So use Screaming Frog or another tool, spider your site, and check for server errors, page not founds, and any unnecessary redirects, and fix those. You know, I actually had a site, one of my clients, and they did a bunch of changes on their website, and they had a free trial button for their product, and the link broke. They moved the page, but didn't change the links and didn't add a 301. So all their free product demo links did nothing. They went to an error page. You know, a simple crawl of the site. Luckily, I found it, I think it was a day or two later. I found it really fast, which isn't always the case. In this case, it was. And that's crawling regularly. If you crawl once a week or once a month, at least once a month, crawl your site at least once a month and check for those things. Super easy to find. In most cases, super easy to fix, but just critical.
You know, out of curiosity, I wanted to see how much adoption Edge had in browsers. So browser market share worldwide, Edge has a 5% adoption rate. I'm actually Surprises, not more. I thought because it's baked into Windows, it would be more, but 5%. Ouch. And if you focus on US alone, now this is for any device, cross-platform, any type of platform. So if we talk about the United States, it goes up to 8%, but still that's tiny. It's, of course, good old Chrome is up there in the 65, 70% threshold.
When I set up a new computer, the absolute first thing I do once it's running is I install Chrome and Firefox 100% of the time. I used to install Safari on my work machine as well for audit purposes, but I haven't installed it on here for a long time. But yeah, first thing I do is install Chrome. Sorry, Microsoft. I mean, and I don't know why. Like, why aren't we using Edge? I just, you know, the history of Internet Explorer being crappy, and then I just don't use Edge, period. But I'm sure it's probably fine.
It's okay. I don't like that they push it on me.
yeah. That's just it, right? It's out of spite.
It partly is. And the other part is, I'm comfortable and I've used Chrome for a long time. People don't like to make change like that. And
maybe that's why I also use Chrome on my iPhone and don't use Safari on Apple products, because they're pushing Safari on me. Maybe it's the exact same. Nobody's pushing Chrome. Well, I guess if you have Android, it's Chrome, but
actually Android is listed as a different browser.
Oh, really?
Interesting, eh? Yeah, I don't know.
I just assumed it would be Chrome. I'm not familiar with Android devices.
So anywho, it's Safari is second at a low, about 20%. And Firefox barely is even on this chart. It's actually lower than Edge. Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's changed a lot since the last time I checked that data. I feel like it was, I don't know, a lot better.
Yeah. It has changed. Look in the States, though. Let's see the States. Firefox is 3.56. Actually, it's currently at 4.23%.
So interesting.
Anywho, a little divergent there, but I was curious. All right. So AI considerations. Oh, here's a big topic. Well,
this should be five episodes.
Yeah, it's humongous. And I've been down so many rabbit holes in this area. And that's part of my concern and my warning here. So first of all, be wary of this bandwagon. You'll see mountains of hype around great advances in AI for SEO and content creation. And you'll want to try things. If you're like me, you're always going to be sucked down to the, ooh, that's shiny. I want to try it. It is fun. It is fun, but it's time consuming and it's not worth your time most of the time, especially right now. Too many things are fledgling. They make it look great, but they're just not quite great yet. Now, some of them will have legitimate pros, but many will have so many cons that it outweighs the benefits. So for a business owner doing SEO in-house, where time is of the essence, we don't suggest testing new AI advances unless you're doing so with great skepticism and testing, which all requires time. The one exception would be content creation, which can be very useful as long as you edit it heavily and differentiate it. We talked about that many times in the show. Just to briefly recap, by all means, use AI to help you create content. Just in the prompt, add your personal expertise and make sure that it's being included in the final result. And then look at the final result and then again, edit it. Add even more to it. Definitely multimedia. Make it far more, let's make it sure that it is in your voice and it accomplishes the litmus test of, would I want to share this if I read it? And you're good. There's no reason not to. And you've saved yourself so much time. I mean, I think of how much time it took me just to start an article because I wanted to have the right way to start it and the right way to end it. This has taken away all that effort. It's amazing. Yeah. I love it. And I spoke with someone today, a great client of ours, and they say they don't use AI because they weren't impressed with the results. I'm like, well, all right, you need to hire me for just an hour. I'll show you how to use it. I'm going to save you so much time and you'll get great results with the expectation you're still going to have to edit it, but it's still going to save you a ton of time. She was all in. So there are ways to do it. Just again, talk to that expert that you trust who's on top of this all the time, or trying to be. Speaking for myself, it's pretty overwhelming to try to be, but it is fun. And it's part of my job. All right. What about competitors, Scott?
I just want to say one quick thing about AI, because I put a message out to everyone at Step Forth, And this isn't even my role to tell. This is Ross's role to tell people to do stuff, but I did it anyways. And SMX Advanced is coming up soon.
Right.
And I want everybody at Step Forth, and hopefully they do, to pay attention to every single session that's set up discussing AI with SEO, because I feel like there's going to be a lot to potentially learn there. I don't know what the sessions will be yet. They haven't been released. I don't think they come out until May 9th or something. So we don't really know yet. So I would suggest sign up for SMX Advanced and pay attention to any, well, not just the AI sessions, but whatever you are interested in anyways, but especially the AI ones, because I think that's going to be the biggest change in the next, well, I was going to say a couple of years, but you know, could be in the next few hours, right? Like in the next, you know, several years, AI is going to change everything and it's going to keep evolving. So pay attention to these, not just SMX Advanced, but maybe other free resources out there, and try to keep on top of it for sure.
And if you're not ready to do it now, it's okay. Waiting until next year is not going to be the end of the world. It is moving fast, but unless you're in an enterprise level business where being on like shaving minutes a day saves you thousands and thousands of dollars, don't worry about a lot of the automation. A lot of small businesses have a hard enough time just getting one piece of content out, and they do want to do it personally. Go for it. Keep it up. You're not going to be usurped likely by anyone using AI yet. Unless you've got some real go-getters. And I'm not saying that's not possible, but it's you've got time. It just do not dismiss it. For example, I actually saw something today and I signed up for, I was kind of debating whether or not to do it, but from Zapier, they're having a kind of a, I don't know what we call it, a webinar, I guess, where they're bringing in so-called experts who have used AI to help their businesses. And they're going to show all the case points or the case use cases of using Zapier to do that. I'm a big Zapier user. I love the system. So I'm in. I'm listening to it. I noticed that there's a couple of marketers that are in there. I've got a feeling because I haven't scratched this. I've just barely scratched the surface. But most of the automation I see in marketing is around things that are fairly useful, like keyword research or content publishing. Not a lot of other things, you know, when it comes to, let's say, one of the things I do use it for actually, I don't even know. I don't use AI. I just use automation for it, is particular emails that come in when someone's filled out a form, when a particular action has occurred on my website, all these things. I get Zapier to send different notices to me or to different systems or send that contact information here or there. Anyways, I'm intrigued to see how AI can help with a lot of this stuff. And again, I'm not seeing a lot that blows my mind when it comes to SEO or marketing for smaller businesses. I am certain they're making major differences in the bottom lines of enterprise businesses where every second counts. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Competitors.
Competitors.
What are they doing? You know, pay attention to your competitors. You can learn a lot from them. Use a tool. SEMrush is great, but there are so many tools out there. Pick one that you love. We use SEMrush for just about all of this stuff. And see what content is your competitor, your main, well, not competitor, competitors, plural or whatever. Pick your top, however many makes sense. You know, it might be the whole top 10 or it might be whatever it is. But see what content they're creating and how often. And, you know, is it evergreen content on their site? Are they tutorials? Are they blog posts? What are they creating? How are they creating it? How in-depth is it? And then do it better. Essentially, do what they do and then do it better. What links are they gaining? Are they working on any sort of link building? If you see their link counts and linking domains pointing to their site are growing, where are they coming from? Are they links that you can, you know, try to gain yourself? Or is there anything you can learn there? Sometimes there's a lot you can learn. Sometimes there isn't much. But, you know, take a look and see. Again, SEMrush will give you that information. Find out what their ranking statistics look like. So, you know, look at, again, SEMrush is great because you can see how many keywords they've ranked for over time. So how many they've gotten the number one spot, how many in the top 10, how many blah, 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 and so on up to the top 100. How many how many rankings they have featured in various SERP features. And you can see how they're trending over time. Are their rankings trending upwards or downwards. If they're trending upward and you look at their content, you can probably see if their content's being created regularly. You can see what those keywords are that that content is ranking for and get a really good sense of how they're doing there. And of course, you can see what keywords they're ranking for. So export a full list of all their ranking keywords, sort it by search volume, and get a sense of their big traffic terms, potentially. And then also, how is their traffic trending? Again, you can see, sort of see this in SEMrush. It's not 100% accurate, but you can get an idea of their traffic history for the site. So if their rankings are going up, in theory, their traffic should be going up, but not always, because maybe they're getting a lot of rankings for things that aren't heavily searched. Maybe it's niche stuff. So, you know, lots of traffic doesn't necessarily mean lots of sales or lots of good rankings. It just kind of depends a lot. But take a look at it, see how they're doing and what they're ranking for and if it's working. And just know that the traffic stats in particular, take that with a grain of salt, because none of the tools, unless you've hacked their Google account, none of the tools are going to give you accurate information of their rankings. It's all, you know, algorithmically estimated based on a bunch of factors. So
yeah, the only way that it helps you is that you, at least you know all the other competitors that you're comparing it against and yourself are all under the same algorithm of evaluation. So there's a comparative aspect to it. Just assume, don't assume any of the numbers are actually right.
That's a good point. Yeah, look at your own. Like, what does the tool say for your own traffic? And then you can sort of gauge, like, if your traffic has been flat and it's saying it's going up or going down, you know, it can kind of help you understand how accurate it might be for the other competitors as well. If it matches your traffic, maybe not in terms of numbers, but the trend is in the same direction, you know, you could assume that your competitors are probably in a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. Do keep in mind, and I've mentioned this before, but SEMrush is questionable with its local ranking information. So if you're looking for how you're doing in your locality, it's not so good. I think you'd have to run more custom reports with that. And that would be more accurate, of course, because it's looking at what data is out there. But just keep that in mind. It's important. Okay. Keep up with your SEO news. You really got to follow the leaders. Definitely monitor Search Engine Roundtable, Search Engine Land, Search Engine Journal, and of course, SEO 101.
I should put that on the top. That should have been first. Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Cut, so redo.
Yeah. We're Canadian. We always have to put it last. It's just quiet, true. Right? Yeah. Now, each resource has its own place in teaching you how to navigate this vast world of search engines and, frankly, overall digital marketing. But, you know, if you, it's kind of a necessity. I mean, even now, when I opened up all the tabs today to start a podcast, I was sucked in. I was like, oh, what? What's this? Huh? There's so much changing every bloody day. It's just like, oh my God. Some of them are sensational titles, but just the same, it usually has some kind of basis and truth. And it's amazing what you can find in there. And it might influence your next choice in your marketing. Now, if you want to stay on the cutting edge, I got to give a huge shout out to my friend, Kevin Indig. He writes, fairly regular post called the Growth Memo. Growth Memo. I'm going to put that again because I've found it so amazing. It's exceptional. It's got in-depth case studies on successful marketing techniques for large brands and how they might be using AI or may not. Or he's also got a section on or an article on AI and his thoughts on the different tools that are currently in play. And I just eat it up. It's great. He's a brilliant guy. Really fortunate to hang out with him, meet him at a mastermind session a couple of years ago. And it stuck with me. Just genuinely brilliant, kind, interesting person, great content. Can't say enough about it. And it is pretty hard to impress me with content, but this stuff is very impressive. Also, monitor LinkedIn for SEO and AI related articles. Holy smokes. The quality of the content has blown me away. It's real thought leaders talking about what they're trying right now. I was trying to think how to tell you to get into it. Like I'm seeing this content is appearing in my stream because I have a certain group of people that I'm friends with or, you know, connected to in LinkedIn. So I don't know how from scratch you could get into this, but I imagine doing a search for SEO and AI will at least start to inform LinkedIn, and you'll start to see this stuff appear more often in your feed. And there's too many people to mention that could be good, and they don't even come to mind right now, other than Kevin Indig. Actually, follow him. You'll probably know who to follow after that. Excellent stuff. Some of it is way above my pay grade. I just still love reading it because it's fascinating to see where people are working and taking stuff to the next level. I'm hoping, frankly, that all this AI stuff doesn't push us out of just, it's, you're going to have programmers on full time to keep up with some of this stuff. I'm grateful we work in the small business field, small and medium, because typically they don't require that level of sophistication, and frankly, they couldn't afford it. So we're always going to have some work, and there's always something to work on. But you know, maybe it's the ego. I want to know that stuff, but it's just too cool. Scott's been too busy for me to really suck him into that, but we're going to get you there.
I'm getting sucked in more and more all the time. I'm not not like Ross. I'm not completely obsessed. I'm not sleeping and I'm not dreaming AI every night. Not every night. But it's getting there, and it, you know, and I've said this before, I find it amazing. Like my wife, who is not a techie, is using ANA more, and she's a teacher. She's using it more and more, and she's encountering uses for it more and more. And I think it's just all industries are going to be like that, and ours especially. So.
Well, that is the end of the SEO 101 learning series. So thank you all for listening. We've really enjoyed this. We're talking about how we're going to need to do updates to this. So we're maybe doing volumes or something every year or two. Maybe we'll do a few months or a few, or just maybe in a couple episodes where we're giving you updates. But I think this is a good direction we're taking. And again, we'd love your feedback on the Facebook forum. Anything you'd like to add there, Scott?
I think we've covered it.
All right.
I know as soon as we say goodbye and I say thanks for listening, I'm going to be like, oh, it'll be too late. You have to wait a year.
Well, remember all, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Thank you for listening, everybody.